Blog Talk Radio.
Bless God, saints. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's In the Spirit Ministry for Saturday, July 12th. I'm your host, Tafwe Nioni, also known to some as Shirley, coming to you live from Durham, North Carolina, as I do every Saturday. We've got a dynamic show for you this afternoon. Joining us in a few minutes will be Reverend Pastor Della McKinnon, a new pastor here in the North Durham, North Carolina area, who's starting a new church in the area. She'll also be taking your calls and questions. Before we begin our discussion with Pastor McKinnon, I'd like to take a moment on behalf of In the Spirit Ministry to send out our condolences to the family of Pastor Timothy Wright of Brooklyn, New York's Grace Tabernacle Church for the tragic loss of his grandson and his wife this past 4th of July weekend. We understand that as of today, Pastor Wright is in stable condition. So please, let's continue to keep that family uplifted in the spirit as they transition through this tragic time. And I see that Pastor McKinnon is on the air. Hello. Good afternoon, Pastor McKinnon. How are you?
Hello, my sister. I'm doing great. Doing great.
Thank you for calling in. It's so good to hear from you again.
I want to say first, thank you for this opportunity. To be able to share what we're doing at Greater Hope. And I thank God just for the time to talk about the vision of what we're doing here in the city
Amen.
Of Durham. So thank you so much
Amen.
For the opportunity.
Oh, thank you so much for agreeing to do it. It's definitely our pleasure to have you on the show today. So why don't you take a few minutes and tell us a little bit about the ministry and the vision that God has given you for your ministry.
Okay. Greater Hope Community Church is what God has actually given me probably in 1995 after I had retired from the police department and having served and worked there for 9 years. After I retired, I began to just sit in church and was listening to the lists of those who were sick and the shut-in, as you may have heard. They have the list of the prayers, and they have prayer for the sick and shut-in. And so I began to question and wonder who was going to visit and these people who were sick and praying for them. But God prompted my spirit and brought to me the scripture in Matthew 25 when it says, you know, when I was sick, you know, you visit me not. When I was naked, you clothed me not. You know, in prison, you came to me not. And it says, when you do it unto the least of them, you do it unto me. So I was like, oh, wow.
Amen.
Just touched by that and really convicted that it was a time to now go out and not just pray for them in the church and have this list of those
mm-hmm.
on the sick and shut-in. So I began to go out once a week and with this other lady who now lives in New York, and she was my prayer partner. And so we were visiting the homes, hospitals, wherever, and it was just so wonderful. I felt like I was really doing ministry and building the kingdom of God outside the four walls
mm-hmm.
and out
mm-hmm.
from the pulpit. And so mm-hmm. from there, that's how it began to, develop. And at one particular home we were at, and the lady asked me, well, who are you? What's your name? And I'm like, you know, we're just Christians on the battlefield, giving her this theological answer. You know, we're just doing the will of the Lord. You know, we've been commissioned, you know, to go out into the hedges and the highways. And she's like, no, what is your name? And so I said, oh, my God. So I got home, and I really began to ponder my spirit and ask God the same question. Lord, I know what we're doing. We're doing your will, but who are we? And then God spoke and said, you're hope. And I thought, what? And he says, yes, you're hope. And then it was an acronym. It says, you are helping others proclaim eternity. And I was
wow.
like, oh, my God. So that's how hope came into place. And we continued to do that. And from there, I just, and after she moved, we did it for about a couple of years, and she had to move away in 97 back to New York. And I actually did not do what I was supposed to be doing. You know, I didn't have a prayer partner. I wasn't consistent. And so I wasn't doing it as I should. So I joined another church, and then I joined this church,
mm-hmm.
and I joined that church, and things wasn't working out in the church. Something would happen, and, you know. And so here I was faced again at the last church I joined. And the pastor, again, was leaving, and I'm like, okay, what do we do now, Lord? And so much was happening in the church, dishonesty mm-hmm. and from the leadership and deception. And so the people were broken. I was broken. And I'm saying, God, what do I do now? And he says, the people now need greater hope. And so he brought that back to me.
Wow.
And I'm saying, oh, my God. And so that was just it. All I knew is that now here I was at a place of brokenness, and I just knew I had to just do what God had for me to do. I could have easily had joined another church, but I just knew I had no other choice but to answer the call of God. And so that's how Greater Hope Community Church came about.
And your brokenness came out of your disillusion with the other churches that you had been involved in?
Yeah, you know, because I won't say that from the time when I first started the outreach, Hope Outreach is what we initially call ourselves, was Hope Outreach Ministries, with my prayer partner, Evangelist Spencer. We, you know, you have that inclination of, you know, probably being a pastor, but I'm like, oh, no. I was always like, not me, or other people's like, you know, and I was co-pastoring at other churches, but it was I just thought, no, I am not. That's not me. And but I understand now it was really preparing me for what God had in store. So even through the brokenness of the churches that I was, my brokenness is where God really spoke to me. And it kind of speaks to even the story of the lost son, the prodigal son.
The prodigal son,
when he was in a pit and he came to himself and says, I believe I go to my father. But sometimes when we're in that pit, in that place, that's when God really speaks to us, when we're in the wilderness.
And unfortunately, that's what it takes for some of us, unfortunately, like you said, to hear his voice.
Exactly. So that's kind of where I was, and I just decided, okay, no more. I'm just going to just sell out and just start it, and I just walked by faith. I had no members. I just had God, and having him was more than enough. But I walked
that's
out.
That's all you need, exactly.
That's all I needed, and I just had the faith of God and saying, okay, I don't know where we're going to worship at, and doors started opening. So currently we have worship services at the Comfort Suites Hotel on Page Road here in Durham at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And everything worked out with the hotel, and so we have a contract there for 6 months, and that's what we're doing.
So you aspire to have your own church facility, your own church building at some point or another?
Yes, it is my hope as we, and I'm trusting God in all this again, that when it's time, and, you know, because one time I started thinking, I said, well, I guess I need to start, you know, looking for a place, you know, scoping things out. But I want to set back from that. I really want, I believe God will have it in place when it's time. And
when
so,
it's time, exactly.
When it's time. So I'm just waiting on God's time.
Because this is all what you're doing now is all preparation to get you to that place.
Exactly. We're just preparing. We are saving. We're building the ministry. We're trying to tell others about what we're doing and reaching out to those. Mm-hmm. And so as we do that, and as we
how are you reaching out to other people to let them know about your ministry? I'm sure this is one way of doing that, of course.
Yeah, and a lot of it is by word of mouth. A lot of it also is by, you know, we posted our website, and we hope that, you know, we're telling people to go there. I think
Do you want to go ahead and give out the information to your website?
Yes, the website is greaterhopecc.com. greaterhopecc.com. So you can go to the website, and that's another way of learning about who we are, what we do. And I think one of the great and one of the unique things about our ministry, and this is what God just gave me as a way to also reach out to people, is that we're going to start Joy Connection. And Joy Connection, God gave me this. He always deals with me in acronyms, let me say that, a lot of times, just like he did with Hope, helping others proclaim eternity. But he gave me Joy, and I used to say, you know, we used to sing this song, Jesus, you know, over you, was J-O-Y. But then as I was praying one morning, and God said, no, it's Jesus occupying you. That is how you really have joy. When God is occupying you, you have real, true joy. And I was like, oh, my
Greater
God.
Greater is he that is in you.
Yeah. So yeah. So talks about being connected. That he is the true vine, and this we are the branches. And without him, we cannot do nothing. So he has to be occupying in us, because he said, "If I abide in you, and you in me, then you can ask anything in the name of my Son Jesus, and it will be done." But we gotta have him occupying in us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, we're starting Joy Connection Bible Study, and we're gonna be doing it via telephone conference. And I think that is so unique, particularly when people are complaining about the cost of gas. And you can do it anywhere. You can call from anywhere in the U.S. and at the comfort
that
of your home.
That is an innovative That is definitely an innovative concept.
Exactly.
You know, having a Bible study via conference.
Yeah, because I was really struggling with saying, okay, we only have the hotel on Sunday mornings. When else can we get together to study the Word of God? And I thought, well, I contemplated about doing it at my home. And or maybe one night a week, and then going to Raleigh, because some of the people that we worship with are in Raleigh, and then we can have them go to a place in Raleigh, one of the other members' home. And I like that idea. That's great. But then, you know, as I was cleaning, I'm saying, how can we do this? I don't have really have a place. But God said, you know, you got that conference call number. Use that. And I'm like, yes, right. We can use the conference call number. It's good for, you know, 3-4 months, and we can just have people call in, given the access code, and they can, and even so, also with that conference call, I can have it recorded, and those who want to listen to it later can call in and listen to the study at another time.
Okay, excellent. And is that something that you're going to be? Is that something that you're going to be implementing, like in a very near future?
I hope to start this in the next 2 weeks. It'll be on Tuesday night. I want to see how it's going to go. It's going to be Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock until 9. Eventually, I want to see it grow to maybe Tuesday and Thursday night. I chose Tuesday because most churches have Bible study on Wednesday. And so for those who may want to be a part of the study but maybe a part of another ministry, they can also have study with us. So, and that's what it's. I'm not trying to steal anybody's members, but there are other people who I know at other churches that say, well, we have study on that night. I can't attend the call or be on the call, but they can do it on Tuesday night. And even those who, as I said, miss it, they can actually call in, because I'm going to have those conference calls recorded, and they can listen to them at their leisure. It could be 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And that information will be posted on your website as well.
It is posted on the website. Yep.
Excellent.
The conference call number and the code. Yeah.
Excellent.
So that's of the ways we're reaching out. But again, most of it, like in the churches, is by others, members. You know, it's the Bible says sheep beget sheep. So it's the others that are inviting them to come. And I just also trust God that he has already designated those for greater hope. And so we're just waiting for the ones that God has already designated to come in his time.
Right. And yes, and they will definitely show up in time. You mentioned in one of our earlier conversations that you'd like to see more fellowship among the saints, more people building a relationship with each other throughout the week and not just on Sunday. Can you talk a little bit more about that and what your church is doing?
What I'm trying to do through Greater Hope is get an understanding and have them understand that it's important to build relationship with each other. God was clearly about relationship, and that is what it's all about. It's not about religion. It's about relationship with God. He wanted so much to have a relationship and fellowship with us. That's why he created man, that he was lonely, and he says, let me make man in my own image. So it was a matter of having fellowship and relationship with each other. And in the same way, when he saw Adam, that he was, you know, it's not good for man to be alone, so he made him a woman. So the thing is, the problem, what happens with churches so often, I find, is that we go to church on Sunday morning, we say, hello, God bless you, I'm blessed, highly favored, whatever, and we don't see each other no more until the next Sunday. But the problem happens is when I'm going through something, when I'm having a challenge that I'm facing throughout the week, and I really need the prayers of my sisters and my brothers, as we call them sisters and brothers, but yet we're not close enough to them to really confide in them, because I haven't built a relationship with them, because I don't know them. And so it's important that we have fellowship outside of church. And even after the Pentecost came in the book of Acts, The Bible tells us that they went from house to house, breaking bread together,
exactly.
And God added daily
mm-hmm.
to the church. So it's important
mm-hmm.
to have fellowship. So what we have tried, what we have adopted at Greater Hope is to have our fifth son to be a Sunday of a friends family fellowship, that it is a time after worship that we sit and have a meal together or just enjoy each other's company, just talk to each other, because sometimes we don't even know the things that we do on a daily basis. We don't know what kind of jobs we have. We don't know how many children
exactly.
we have. We don't know what school,
exactly.
nothing. We don't know nothing about that person. But this last fifth Sunday, what we did, we just, after worship, we had a reception in the hotel. And so it was kind of good that we were in the hotel, so we were able to have the other banquet room. We had a reception, just light things, sandwiches and fruit. And
mm-hmm.
then after that, we came back into our worship area and circled the tables around, and we broke up the females and the guys, and we played Bible trivia. And I got so many responses from people from the Bible trivia game that it says, oh, this was so much fun. So it broke down those kind of barriers of just kind of being
exactly.
very serious and,
exactly.
you know, worship. And now we can just laugh and got to know each other. And when somebody messed up on an answer, they'd be like, what? You know, just having such a good time. You know, it's like, you didn't know that? And I'm like, wow, you know. But that was so nice. And so that has brought the family closer. I think as we start
exactly.
smaller, that is so important. So when I am having a problem or going through something difficult on my job, I can call my sister and say, you know, I need you to pray for me
exactly.
because now I have a relationship with her.
Exactly, and I was going to say, and not feel awkward about it because you've developed a relationship with that person.
That's the idea.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to take a few minutes to give the callers a chance to call in if they have any questions or comments for Pastor McKinnon. You can call in at 646-716-5180, and the phone lines are open now to receive calls. Again, that number is 646-716-5180. And the guest today is Pastor McKinnon, who is the founder and pastor of Greater Hope Community Church here in the Durham, North Carolina area. And her ministry goals are to allow the Holy Spirit to teach the great truths of Christ that will allow others the working ideology of discipleship. She believes that there must be a strong emphasis on teaching simplicity, repetition, and life-related illustrations with emphasis on evangelism, worship, fellowship, and discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pastor McKinnon, let me ask you another question. Based on your experiences and observations, do you think the churches today are effective in helping people to change their lifestyles to become more Christ-like?
I don't think that we are being as effective, and I say that, one,
mm-hmm.
because I remember a saying that someone said that they'd rather see a sermon than to hear a sermon, meaning that
mm-hmm.
we have to demonstrate that lifestyle daily in our workplace. And what happens is I don't think that the church and those in the church, Christians, have not I need more maturity, spiritual maturity, because you realize
mm-hmm.
when you become mature, there's certain things and certain behaviors and conduct that would not even be mentioned among us. And so I think that that's key for us. And I think it's also key that we are not really reaching out and helping people in their everyday need, that there's things
mm-hmm.
that people are social issues that we need to, as a church, I think, need to address and
mm-hmm.
bring about social change. And I think that's
mm-hmm.
important for the church, because I think that will bring those closer to Christ as we go out. I mean, Jesus himself was always, always out among the people. And we
absolutely.
Are too isolated in the pulpit. So it's important
absolutely.
As a church that we reach out, outreach in the communities
mm-hmm.
to bring those closer to Christ, because they really need to see us as, you know, just ordinary people. And that's
mm-hmm.
really what we are, ordinary people living a life that is centered around Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people see that, and not that we are in the robe, you know, I mean, yes, we
exactly.
have to carry out the priesthood of our calling, but at the same time
mm-hmm.
not be untouchable. that you can touch me and that I can sit down at the table and have a meal with you. And that's what Jesus so often did, you know, with the sinners. He sat at the table with them. He was, you know, despised because of that. You know, it's like, oh, what is he doing sitting there? But that's what we have to do. We really have to get out from the pulpit, from the four walls, and go out into our community. And that is how we're going to win more people to Christ. And then demonstrate the life. Show love. It's about demonstrating the love of Jesus. That means I have to see people where they are. I cannot be judgmental or have my nose up turned up towards them, because the Bible tells us that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So who are we to judge? Who are we? I mean, and if those without sin, let them cast the first stone.
Exactly. And there's no better demonstration of a person being compassionate than, like you said, what Christ showed on his earthly ministry.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a couple of good points, because you said people want to see a sermon rather than hear a sermon.
Yeah.
And I think that's so true, because to me it seems like people go to church to be entertained.
Yeah.
And I think they're missing, you know, the whole gist of what the service is about. Because when you ask them after service, like, what did you get out of it? Oh, that was a good service. Or they remember the music, they don't remember the message.
Exactly. And church is, I mean, it's good to go and have a great time. I mean, you want it to be, you don't want your experience to be boring, and that's always the challenge, too, with the young generation that we have. But you want it to make it so that it is still about Christ. It's Christ-centered.
Exactly.
And I think the church, when people understand what church is all about, for me, I believe church is all about, as the Bible tells us, fail not to assemble ourselves together, that it is a time that we come and strengthen ourselves. It's almost like, if you will, a time that we refuel our spiritual energies among ourselves, and now we can go out into the world, into the battlefields, and conquer all that we need to conquer. But we need to come back and build at the church and strengthen ourselves and be edified at the church. And that is important, too, because a lot of times sometimes people go to church feeling worse because of some sister or brother, you know, whatever, those other issues. But they go back, they leave not feeling as good when they went in. So church is
exactly, and then they get so disillusioned, and then those are the ones that you lose because they don't come back.
Yes, you know, no, why am I coming here if I'm being treated this way? Because they're not getting the love at church. So it's important in the church, wherever, to show love, and that church is a place to be strengthened by your sisters and your brothers. And that's why even testimony, the Bible tells us, even in our testimony, it's supposed to be edifying, that I get encouragement through your testimony. And the preachers, the message is supposed to be to encourage me, to inspire me, and to let me know that whatever I face, whatever I go through, there is greater hope through Christ Jesus. And that is the message I try to portray in my sermon, that it is greater hope. We have a greater hope because now we have a great high priest that sits on the throne for us and making intercessions on our behalf. So we got to let people know it doesn't matter what you've done, what you've gone through this week, Christ is still there sitting and making intercessions on your behalf. He's your mediator, and it doesn't matter. There is greater hope. There is a greater hope. And so after leaving church, you should feel very inspired, very encouraged anytime after you leave the house of God and worship and praise Him. So it is a time that we come corporately worshiping and sending up praises to God, and then afterwards we are strengthened by His Holy Spirit just to continue on in that spiritual race.
Amen. And then once you come into the church and get fed, individually you should take that and then take it out there and share it with somebody else.
Share it with
others. And
don't
keep it for yourself.
Exactly.
Amen.
Share it with others.
I'm reminded of the temptations of Christ after he was baptized and taken into the wilderness for 40 days. And after the 40-day fast, Satan came and tempted him.
Yep.
In Matthew 4:8, Satan took Christ on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to Christ, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Well, today in this 21st century, all the kingdoms of the world constitute the media, corporations, religious, government, medical, educational institutions, as well as wealthy and famous celebrities and personalities. And all of these things have a profound impact on influencing the consciousness and behavior of society. Do you think Christians have sold out and become too complacent? Matthew 5:18 talks about we are here to bring out the flavors of God in the earth, that we're the salt of the earth. And if we lose our saltiness, how will the unsaved people taste godliness? Do you think we've lost our usefulness and have become too absorbed in cultures of secularism?
I think that for some churches, they have compromised in that way to try to, I guess, attract more people or the younger generation. So we have to be careful not to compromise. And I think the message that we need to send when it comes to, you know, because kids are, or we are, even people are influenced by things that they see, things that they want to have. But if we continue to send the message of what Christ said, if you seek me first and all of my righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And that is the message that the church has to continue to proclaim. So whatever it is, the things that they're being influenced by the cars, by whatever they see in media, God promised those things to us if we are faithful to him. So it's a matter of seeking God first. So we have to continue to say that and not compromise in the church or compromise as the universal church, letting people
and
know
not,
you have to have Christ first. Seek him first, his righteousness.
Absolutely, absolutely. And not just seek him for the things that we want him to provide, for the material things.
Exactly.
Seek him so that we can become better people and better representations of him in this earth.
Exactly.
To be the light that shines in the darkness.
Exactly, his righteousness, because then when we do that, we can be a better seasoning, as you talk about being the salt of the earth, because what happens, we do not have the righteousness of Christ. If you have, and when you have the righteousness of Christ abiding in you, then you can be the right seasoning, the salt of this earth to season those that taste you, that see you, they know that is the righteousness of Christ. There's no doubt about it. It's like going to eating something and you taste it. It's like, what does that taste like? You know, it's like give a person a piece of lemon pie. He says, oh, yeah, that tastes like lemon pie. You know, if you get this, does that taste like a Christian? Yeah, that seems to be like Christ. And so we have to make sure that we are demonstrating and imitating the life of Christ, that others would see it and others, and then we become the salt of the earth, true salt.
Amen. And I think that's something that we need to do every single day in every area of our lives, our personal lives, our social lives, our work lives, and not just on Sunday. You know, when you're in church among other like-minded people, it has to be something that we learn to develop and incorporate into our lives on a daily basis.
Exactly. And remember, again, I said church is just a place that you go, that building that you go to be refueled, to be energized, to be edified and strengthened for everything you go out into the world. So, yes, when you go to the church and when you go out to the world, it's about living a lifestyle before Christ, that life of righteousness within the church. When you talk about the temptations, there will be temptation. And that's why Jesus says, pray this prayer, that, you know, Lord, lead me not into temptation, you know, but deliver me from evil. So it's important in our lifestyle every day that we pray that, and every day we're going to be confronted with temptation. But even in James, the book of James tells us to submit to God, submit to his spirit, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that is what Jesus did, just as you said in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, I believe it was. He also resisted Satan, and he'll flee. But the problem is we begin to entertain Satan, and you're like, oh, to have this conversation with him. No, don't entertain that stuff. Resist him, and he'll flee. And that's all we have to do, and daily live that life in everything we do. And that's how the church.
Absolutely.
That's how the church would send the message to the world.
Absolutely. What would you say is one of the biggest hindrances for people when it comes to tuning into the Spirit of God? In other words, developing a personal relationship with Him.
I think that the biggest hindrance is that people do not want to deny their flesh. They do not want to denied or stopped doing the things that they're accustomed to doing. They'll say, oh, man, I've been doing this a long time. I don't know if I can give up this, you know, or I don't know about that. But we have to, because we have to understand that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God cannot dwell, the Bible tells us, he cannot dwell in a dirty, unclean temple. It must be clean. It must be, I mean, darkness and light cannot dwell in the same place. And Christ says he is the light of the world. So if we want his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, we have to start doing some house cleaning, okay? And
absolutely.
So that's what people have to do. That has seemed to be, I believe, the biggest hindrance is that we fail to clean house. And sometimes we do some cleaning, but we do not do, as we call it, spring cleaning, as we do our own home.
Spring cleaning.
You know, you
got to
go into those closets, okay? Go into the closet and pull out that dirt, pull out that stuff that you've been holding on for years. And we know what it is, okay?
Those secret sins, because I think sometimes we have a tendency to compartmentalize our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to keep this in Christ. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to turn over this, but I just want to hold on to this.
Exactly. Exactly. And you got to clean all that stuff. Putting stuff in the attic, you know. I keep that up there, you know. Just don't know if I'm going to need it.
Gotta get rid of it all.
I might need that
one
day.
Yeah, got to have one of them garage sales and get rid of everything.
Everything. So that is the hindrance. We just don't want to let go. And that's why Christ says, you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. So that's the hard thing. Sometimes our cross is a difficult cross. Sometimes the cross is heavy. But whatever it is, you got to deny yourself. And that's when you know that you, as you begin to say, you know what, I love Christ more than me. I love Christ more than this. I love Christ more than this person. So I'm not going to let them come between my relationship with Christ. When you get to that place and start maturing in that, that's when God's Spirit can feed us, fill us. And so until we get to that place of denying ourselves, that's the hindrance. It's us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hindrance. Our own self.
We're in the way, right? Once we get out the way, we can let Christ come in and occupy his temple, take his rightful place in our lives.
Amen.
Absolutely. And I'm going to open up the lines again and give the callers a chance to call in if you have questions or comments, or if you just like to get in on this conversation. Please feel free to call 646-716-5180. And the guest today is Pastor McKinnon, who is the founder and pastor of Greater Hope Community Church. Pastor, I received an email the other day, and it was a petition that was soliciting support from people because apparently some atheist organization is lobbying Congress to remove certain religious preachers and programs from the airwaves. And apparently this organization has been granted a federal hearing to pave the way to stop the reading of the gospel on the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also campaigning to remove all Christmas programs and carols from public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the churches should be more involved in politics as far as advocating for legislation that will fight to protect the religious freedom of our country and advocating for legislation that will support and benefit people socially and educationally?
Yes and yes.
And in that same vein, do you think that the churches should, at least on a local level, inform communities and their congregations about legislation that's important to them and encourage people to become more active in and informed about the government and what they're doing in our communities?
Yes, I totally agree. That is, I think, one of the areas in which the church has failed our community. As I said earlier, I believe that one thing for Greater Hope, we are believers to embrace our community, to embrace social issues, address those issues to bring about social change. So with that, particularly if it's going to impact the church, we should be a voice in these issues that are going before legislative for voting. And if we sit back and do nothing, that is the problem. There is so much power that the churches have. I mean, if you look back, even with Martin Luther King, I mean, he was a pastor, and he was the great leader of the civil rights movement. But it was because, and they met, you know, even a lot of times they met at churches – to address these issues that were going on then and boycotting then, but that is what we need to do. We need to come together as a universal church to address these social issues to bring about social change, and we're not doing that. We're so focused more on how many members I have, how much is the collection this week, but what are we doing with the money? We are not doing anything to make a change in the community, and that is my frustration. It's wonderful to have a large congregation. Yes, I hope we get there one day. It's wonderful to have a bank account and a reserve account, but do something with it. You have the resources, and that's what it's for. Is it there just to put in an account just to say you have it? But we have the power to do that. And so to answer your question, yes, we need to be involved, and no, we have not been involved as we should have as a church. And we do, as you said, at least make the congregation aware of these things so that they'll know what's going on and how we can make a difference in it. And I'm sure everything we can make it even applicable. I mean, church is about things that apply and impact my life. I want to know about that too, you know.
Exactly.
And I know Christ loves me. He dies for me. What is impacting my life and just going to help me in my Christian journey? So it's those kind of things that we need to know about, you know, because it's going to impact our children if you're talking about prayer in school and everything. That's what has happened today with our kids. So, yes, we need to be more involved. Totally agree.
Absolutely. So do you see church leadership collaborating more and combining resources to become a united force that holds political and religious leaders responsible for building up our low-income communities as well as the economic standards of people who live in them?
Unfortunately, I don't foresee that. If it's happening, it's happening on a very small scale. Well, you may have two, three churches that say, okay, we're going to come together and do this. Or it may be those in a certain conference group, you know, the Southern Baptist Conference or whatever, so that may be coming together to address some of the same. But as a universal church, the body of Christ, as the body of Christ, we are not meeting a tenth of that, I don't believe. And I'm not looking at any statistical numbers, but just from what I know and have experienced, I don't think that is what we're doing. I think we as I said, are so isolated and alienated from each other that this group is doing this and that church is doing that, when we can easily come together. And I know there's some things in the city of Durham, for example, that does happen, like in February, you know, to have a, you know, the revival for the citywide revival and those kind of things. But those are some things that we need to kind of continue to happen, continue to let happen.
Absolutely.
Not just once a month.
And we have a caller on the line. She's calling in from the 616 area code. Caller?
Yes, my question is concerned about the parable with the woman with the issue of blood. She stepped out on faith and touched the hem of the Lord Jesus' garment and was made whole. My comment is that the woman, she went to a lot of doctors, helped pay the bill, and once she heard that Jesus was in the vicinity, she believed within her heart and soul that if she touched his garment, she would be made whole. And as the scripture relates, she was absolutely made whole. And the Lord also said, he asked the question, who touched her? And he was surrounded by a crowd of people. And his disciples had said to him, that Lord, who do you think touched you? You're surrounded by a lot of people. And the Lord said, someone has touched me because virtue had went out of my body. So the woman was afraid, and she spoke up. And the Lord had said to her, as according to your faith, so be it. So today, my point is that today we have a lot of people who has and who needs to step out on faith and to be guided in the light of Jesus Christ. My question is, how could you help me in this?
How can I help you in understanding the text, or how can I help you in understanding the text?
And understanding the text.
What I would say to you is that I love this text. I kind of refer to myself with this lady because I can relate having a medical condition called ITP, and in that, ITP is a a disorder where your immune system and the platelet counts drop for unknown reason. And your platelets is what causes your blood to clot, to keep you from bleeding to death. So I really identify with this lady. And in this parable, in the story here that we have before us, where this lady reaches out and touches Jesus, it tells us that regardless of the crowd, regardless of what's before us, the thing is that this woman pressed through the crowd. So we have to keep
Absolutely.
In mind that there's things that's going to be before us, or there's going to be people, but how important is it to our spiritual healing, our physical healing, our emotional healing, whatever the healing we need, that we have to make a press to touch Jesus. So even in sickness, this is what this story is about, that she knew that if I could just touch him, that's the issue. That's the thing, that her faith was that great that she didn't like say, I need him to lay hands on me, or I need to get my whole body around him. I need to, but she said, if I can just touch the hem, because she believed that was so much power in Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Could be made whole. So the thing is, for you, my sister, and for all of us, we have to have that much faith and believing in Jesus Christ, because the Bible tells us that without faith, it's absolutely impossible to please God. We know that we're saved by faith. It's all, everything is about our relationship with Jesus Christ is based on faith. Believing he died, believing he rose from the dead. We didn't see him rise from the dead, but because of my faith. Faith is defined as confidence and trust in something or someone else. That's what the word faith is defined as. So it's about having that confidence. So she has so much confidence that if I could just touch Jesus, I will be made whole. So when he asked the question, who touched me? And I believe he just really wanted to lady, because, of course, Jesus, God knows everything. But
He
knows everything.
She got her healing, and she gave her testimony. She got her healing and gave her testimony.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then she went out and she witnessed, and she was made whole. So she was one of the first women that started a ministry for the Lord Jesus, as she served even in this day and age, long after the death, the resurrection, and the coming back. She served as an example of faith to a lot of believers and non-believers. Because like you were saying, she said, if I can get to him and just touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. Whatever it is that you're seeking, whatever it is that you're asking, if you can just get to it, now, he will answer your question, or no matter how big the crowd or how little the crowd, if in your heart you are sincere and you believe in the work that you're doing and you have no ulterior motive behind it, he will hear your prayer, even from afar off. The question that he put to the people and to his disciple was, who was it that touched me? This lady believed. She had enough faith to believe that she can touch him and be made whole. But he felt it. He felt the anointing leave.
Exactly.
That's a point of contact. And
to me, in that story, what that illustrates, that is so profound, because it was so many people around him and so many people touching him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But her faith is what drew on that virtue and that anointing from Christ, and that's what he felt that was different from all the other people that was there, just either to see him or to hear him, you know, with maybe some other ulterior motive. But she went with her mind set. I know this man can heal me. I know the anointing of God is on him. If I can just reach out and if I can just touch his clothes, a piece of him, I'll be made whole.
That's why he said your faith has made you whole, because it was her faith that touched Jesus. As I said, it's impossible to please him without faith, but he knew this lady had faith. So as you said, it was her faith that tugged and brought out that virtual healing, divine healing, to heal her body, because she absolutely believed without a doubt. And that's what faith we have to have. Without a doubt, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
And that is we have to believe without a doubt that Christ can heal us from whatever our issues is, for
that's
however
what we
long we've been dealing with those issues. You know, it may have been a medical condition for her. It could be something else for somebody else. It could be drugs, alcohol, tobacco, a sex addiction, gambling, whatever the case may be.
Amen.
However long you've been struggling with that issue, Christ has the power in him. If you let him come into your temple and occupy that space, he's got the power, and you got the power because you made that connection to be set free from whatever it is that you've been dealing with.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. And she stands as an example for a lot of people who also have fallen by the wayside. But if they can just get back to where it all began then, because it is by faith. And in this day and age, we don't have nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, but to look at the scripture. I found that particular scripture very interesting and very enlightening.
Yes.
Because I ran into it once before, and I wanted to make a comment on it, and it's a beautiful scripture. To step out on faith, no matter what the issue, mentally, physically, sexually, or whatever, we're living in a time where we as people and beginners and babies that are walking in Christ,
mm-hmm.
that have to have something to stand on.
Exactly. And another neat part about this, I'm going to say this last thing about it, but another neat part about us as a witness to us is the story started, the woman had spent all her money.
All of her money, yes.
She had already tapped into all the other resources and trying to get help, trying to get a cure for her illness. So we know from the beginning, we don't even have to spend all that we got. All we got
exactly.
is to go to Jesus. We don't have to go that way.
And that's what she did. That's exactly what she did. But she took her time. She heard that he was there. After she was broke, and she heard that he was there, and he did heal her. As according to your faith, so be it. And then she went out and she was blessed a little later on. I think maybe as us women, that point in our lifetime serves as a purpose in time, not only for our childbearing years, but also if we think about the blood that covers us.
Yes.
And sometimes we take for granted how precious and how anointing that his love for us in our everyday lives.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And thank you so much, Carla, for
yes.
calling in. We really appreciate your input.
Okay, you're more than welcome. God bless. And I'll be listening to you more in the future.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, thank you so much.
And
you say bless as well.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
Dynamic input.
That's wonderful.
And we had another caller on the line. Yeah, we just lost another caller. But, yeah, that was that was last week's topic also. So I'm glad she had an opportunity to call in to give her comments on that.
Great.
Yeah.
It's about our faith. Amen.
But that is so significant to a lot of things that we deal with today. You know, we need to know that God is able to handle, if we just turn whatever we're dealing with over to him, he's able to help us and to heal us and to deliver us and to set us free.
You're right. I think last week my sermon was about Peter. And it came from Matthew chapter 14 when Peter had walked on the water with Jesus. But in that, when Peter allowed doubt, it wasn't so much that Peter took his eyes off Jesus, but it was because he allowed doubt to enter in. That's when he began to sink. So it's important that we do not allow doubt to enter in. We have to keep holding to our faith. You know, don't be, because in that story, it tells us that when Peter saw the boisterous storm, because there's going to be storms that come in our lives,
absolutely.
But we cannot be distracted by the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And so Peter got distracted by the storm that was around him, and that's when he began to sink. So that doubt, yet when he was focusing
absolutely.
On Jesus, focusing on God, and God said, I command you, Peter asked him, command me to come. And with that commandment, you've got to go, because when God gives you a commandment, you have to move. So he began to
absolutely.
Walk out towards Jesus. When the others in the boat were afraid and thought they saw a ghost, Peter, walked out because he saw Jesus, and he wanted to come
exactly.
to Jesus. And it was his faith that wanted him, that moved him to that place. But when the storm came, he got doubt. Down.
He got scared, and he took his eyes off of Christ and focused on the problem.
Exactly. So we can't do that, even at faith.
absolutely. Again, if you're interested in calling in and joining in on the conversation, or if you have a question for Pastor McKinnon, the number to call is 646-716-5180. And you and I talked about that a little bit the other day, too. We were talking about as long as we stay on a straight path, everything that we need that pertains to life is in that path. But once we veer off, even temporarily, we lose sight and lose focus of what Christ has for us.
Exactly. We can't take any detours in this walk. I mean, that's really the same, the thing that happened to the Israelite. That's what took them, 40 years. Mm-hmm. Because they took a detour, actually. They were disobedient and not listening to God's voice, and he's trying to lead them and guide them how to go about getting the promised land. But, you know, God has a promised land for us here on this earth as well.
Absolutely.
We, you know, take detours and say, let me try it this way. I think there's a shortcut if I can go this way. I know I can get there easier if I can do it this way.
And
it's
then
a matter
also,
of trusting God. Trusting God, trusting his plan, because he says, I'm already predestined. Everything.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You've been predestined.
And we have work to do, though. That's not automatic. And I think a lot of times we think because we're saved, everything is going to happen automatically. And we had touched on that a little bit. We have to give up the habits. We have to give up things that we've been doing and holding on to for so long. And like you said, I think a lot of people don't want to do that. You know, having that relationship with Christ requires us to do some work. Instead of spending 4 or 5 hours a day watching television, how about spending 2 or 3 hours a day in the Word of God?
Amen. You know,
letting the Holy
Spirit talk to you, right?
Yeah.
But you're so right. You know, we spend so much time doing so many other things. I remember a time when I was doing some study. I was in the hospital, actually, and a lot of times when I'm in those places, I really can tune in to God, I guess, because I'm still. But in that, God was speaking to me about tithing. And, you know, the tithing is not about just money. You know, imagine if we gave God 10% of, God said, imagine if you gave me just 10% of your time. How about that?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's 24 hours in a day, right? So 10% is what, 2 hours and 40 minutes?
2 hours. Exactly. And you mean to tell me we can't find 2 hours and 40 minutes a day to either stay in the Word of God, to praise him and spend time praising and worshiping him? You know, and it's so easy to do that on a drive to work. How about instead of listening to the popular rock station, put in a tape that's going to minister to the Spirit of God? Because if Christ is going to occupy our body, that Spirit, because God is inside of each and every one of us anyway, and the only way that he's going to grow up and we begin to hear his voice is to feed that Spirit of God that's in us. And he requires spiritual food, not earthly food.
Well, if
you know, we become...
even with that, we eat every day. So if we eat every day, imagine, I mean, you know, if you didn't eat, you would starve yourself to death. So spiritually, we starve ourselves spiritually. We become malnutrition spiritually because we have not fed the body, our spirit man, the things that it needs. So it's a matter of daily we have to eat and be before the God. I mean, when you have a relationship with, the thing about it, when you have a relationship with God, it's easy to do. I mean, it's just like in the natural. You have a relationship with someone, you want to see them. You want to spend some time with them. You want to embrace them. You want to talk to them. So when you have a relationship with God, it's easy to do. Nobody has to pump you to do it or tell you to do it. You will make yourself do it. I don't care if it's late at night. You're going to be spending time with God, just like in the natural. If that man, that woman call you, you're going to want to spend some time with them. If you ever heard from them, you're going to be like, why haven't you called me? You know?
Uh-huh.
It's the same way.
And then once you develop the habit of, once you've established that relationship with Christ, if you miss a day or an hour or something without that fellowship, you don't feel right. It's like, you know, something's missing here. What's not right here?
Yeah, I've missed you. You know?
But what's so wonderful about Christ is no matter how long we stay away, he's right there waiting with open arms to receive us back. Just like you mentioned earlier, the prodigal son.
He will receive us back and give us the robe of righteousness and put that ring on our finger because We belong to him. He will not disown us, and we belong to him. And that's what he desires, that we be in fellowship and relationship with him daily, as the Bible tells us with Adam, that in the cool of the day he had communion with God. So
absolutely.
I want to be in the cool of the day having communion with God. Yeah.
Well, we have about 4 minutes left, and again, I'd like to give out the phone number if anybody's interested in calling to get one last word in or question for Pastor McKinnon. The number to call is 646-716-5180, and we thank the caller earlier for her comments and her input on the show. So again, the number to call in is 646-716-5180, and we have about 4 minutes left in our discussion with Pastor McKinnon, founder and pastor of Greater Hope Community Church in Durham, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to go ahead and give out your web site information and any other information that you'd like to give out about your church?
Yes.
Your web address?
Again. I want to say that our church name again is Greater Hope Community Church, and you can go to our website at www.greaterhopecc.com. Currently, we hold worship services Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at the Comfort Suites Hotel on Page Road, 5219 Page Road. If you're coming off 40th, exit 282. We'd love to have you in our worship service. Again, my name is Pastor Della Owens McKinnon, and I look forward to celebrating Christ with you at Greater Hope. At any time, you are free to come and worship with us.
Amen. Amen.
And I want to thank my sister here in the Spirit Ministries this interview today. I've really enjoyed myself, and I thank her for the opportunity and being just obedient to God's voice, and I thank him for opening this door that we would have this platform just
bless
to talk
God.
About the things that
bless
we're doing
God.
In Durham. So
bless
thank you,
God.
Sister, for
Amen.
Inviting us on this interview.
And again, thank you so much for being our guest today on the first live guest
first live.
on the show today. The first. This is a historic moment. Women, power to women in the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory
to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to having you on the show again in the very near future.
Anytime. I am always, that's the thing about me, I'm just always so excited and always willing to do the will of God. One of the things I did mention, on third Sundays we go to Durham Ridge, again, getting out in the community. It is an assisted living place on Wake Forest Highway. So we render services to those that are confined, are in wheelchairs, or in this nursing home, or assisted living, they call it, on Wake Forest Highway. Every third Sunday at 1:30, I have services with those folks there, and I just absolutely love it.
Wow.
Love doing that. So that is another way we are getting out in the community, because if they can't get to us, the Bible tells us, you know,
exactly.
to the least of them, you've done it. And so I want
absolutely.
To go to them. I go to them once a month, so I'm excited about that opportunity as well.
And that's a precious ministry in itself. And those people really do appreciate when
yes.
groups come out and minister and sing and fellowship with them. Because like you said, they can't often a lot of times get out and go
yes.
to church because of, you know, their convalescent medical reasons or whatever the case may be. And they look forward to that. You know,
oh, yes.
that's how they have their opportunity to celebrate Christ, to worship and have an opportunity to praise the Lord when
yes.
we go out into the community and minister to those people.
Amen.
And so we're going to wrap it up right now. We have about 90 seconds left on the show. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio in the Spirit Ministries. And I want to thank especially my guest today, Pastor Della McKinnon. Della McKinnon.
Yes.
And again, the website information, if you want to visit her website, is greaterhopecc.com.
Mm-hmm.
And tune in next week to the show. This is Tafwe Nione thanking you again, and I'm your host of In the Spirit Ministries from Durham, North Carolina. Pastor, I got about 3 seconds left. I'm going to thank you again for your time, and I look forward to talking to you real soon. You have
thank
a blessed
you.
Evening. And thank you again for being my first and special guest here on In the Spirit Ministries.
Thank
you so much for your time, Pastor.
Okay.
Have a blessed
God bless
day.
You.
Okay. God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello?
Okay, this is, again, this is your host, Tafwe, signing off from In the Spirit Ministries here in Durham, North Carolina. And again, tune in next week for our show where we'll have a special guest call speaker to talk about some financial matters. And so we look forward to doing that, and I'd leave you with a little bit of this song from Yolanda Adams. And I dedicate this to you, Pastor McKinnon.
She looks just like a dream of love. And knows that your idea, it won't accept it.